Let me ask you a question. Who is Jesus to you? My hope is before you leave here today that you can define this. I didn't ask you who is Jesus to your mom or your dad or your grandma. Who is Jesus to you? Who do you say Jesus is? Some have said he's a great teacher. Many said he was a great prophet. But today, you must answer that question. Who was Jesus? Jesus said, I am the Son of God. That's a whole different level than a good teacher and a great prophet. So you must answer this question for yourself. Who is Jesus? But one thing we must agree upon, that no single person in the history of time has ever made a global impact like this man, Jesus. No one has influenced the world like Jesus. No one has changed the world like Jesus. Think about it. In a time before social media, can you imagine if Jesus would have been alive today, walking the earth today? What would have happened? People like, ooh, taking videos everywhere. Jesus just raised Lazarus from the dead. Wow, Jesus just healed the lame. Jesus just healed the leper. Wow, Jesus just turned the water into wine. 150 gallons of wine. Come on, someone say party. Jesus was there. We'd have had this big thing and it'd have been spread so fast. His fame couldn't have been contained. It had been spreading so fast. The fact that he lived in a time without television, without internet, without social media and our phones to spread the news, and the fact that it spread globally and is still alive today, over 2,000 years later, is still making a lasting impact. This had to be a different man. This just couldn't be a good prophet. This just couldn't be a good teacher. There must have been something to this man that was different, because no other person has ever made this kind of global impact. I mean, think about it. Man, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that very cross now becomes the most well-known globally used logo in the world. Everybody understands, at least have some kind of meaning, understanding what the cross represents. They understood a man named Jesus died on that cross. And now that cross is found around the world. It's used in hospitals and buildings and churches. People use it as tattoos. We wear it as jewelry. It's on t-shirts, it's on our homes and artwork. I mean, what kind of man takes the cross he died on, and that cross becomes a symbol of hope for the world? Something must have happened. Something. We don't see anybody else. We don't see Muhammad, anything to do with Muhammad's gravestone where he died. We don't see anything with Buddha. Why? Because those guys are still dead. Good teachers, but still dead. Something must have happened on resurrection morning that set the world on fire to the point where even his disciples, who were in hiding because they didn't want to get crucified like Jesus, they were running for their lives, terrified, denying Christ. And then 3 days later, he's resurrected. He appears back to his disciples and says, "It is me." And to over 500 eyewitnesses, he appeared before he ascended to the Father. Something must have really, really happened, because all of them left their life and gave their life to spread the gospel. They went out of hiding to the point where they were ready to face death, to share this message of Jesus and the cross. They wouldn't do that for somebody who was just a good teacher. They wouldn't do that for somebody who was just a good prophet. Something miraculous must have happened that shook them from the inside out, that said, I'll give my very life. I will martyr my very life to get this gospel message out. My Savior is real. My Savior is alive. I spent time with him. I saw him raise the dead. I saw him spend time with those nobody else would. What kind of man has this global impact over 2,000 years later? I mean, think about it. He changed the way we keep time. Before Jesus, they would say, in the year of King Uzziah, or in the year the King Uzziah died, or in the year of Caesar Augustus. They kept time by the kings and rulers. And the year they ruled, they would see in the year and the ruler of this king or this Caesar. But after Jesus, now they said everything is either B.C., before Christ, or A.D., which is a Latin term, which means in the year of our Lord. So every king since Jesus has been born, every king and every president, every queen, when they say that queen, that king, that president, they say they served in this year, 2024, of our Lord. They use his name now to keep the time. Nobody else has ever changed time the way our Savior changed time. He had to be more than just a good teacher. Something miraculous must have been eyewitness. Something must have exploded out of this revelation that he was the risen Savior. Changed the world. I mean, think about it. Before people knew who Jesus' followers were, they would name their children after kings and queens. They named their children after kings and queens. But after Jesus' disciples, these people are just common, everyday people, fishermen, just local people. But now we name our children names like Peter, James, and John, and Paul. What kind of man that even his followers now, we still name our children after his followers. And now we name our pets after kings and queens. Something different. What kind of man has this kind of global impact? I mean, think about it. Every humanitarian effort that's come out in his name, he has changed the globe. We wouldn't have hospitals. The first hospitals were formed in the name of Jesus by his followers. They started the first hospitals, and now that's why you have the global cross on a hospital, signifying it's a place of healing and a place of hope. They were started by his followers. It was his followers that started the first orphanages in a time when children could be cast away because they were either deformed or lame, or they wanted a boy and didn't want a girl. They were giving them away. They would many times put them to death. And it was his followers that said, no, 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 no. Bring them to us. We'll take care of them. We will nurture them. We will give them love, and we'll help them find a home that will open up to them and raise them. That was his followers that started the first orphanages. It was his followers that started humanitarian efforts such as the Salvation Army, Samaritan's Purse, Feed the Children, Convoy of Hope. Come on. All these organizations feeding and taking care of people were started in the name of this man. This couldn't have been just a good teacher. This couldn't have been just a prophet. Somebody inspired worldwide change that took place. Think about it. Nobody else stood up for human rights until this man. Nobody else. We don't have anybody else in the history of time and record keeping where we see where they stood up to society and said, there is neither male nor female race. Doesn't matter that we're all equal under God's eyes. We're all equal in the kingdom of God. We're all God's children. He said there's neither Jew nor Gentile. And he allowed women to come in a society where women were left on the outside. They could only learn from a man at home. They could only listen from the outer court. They were not allowed in the inner court, more or less have a voice at the table. And Jesus only invited them into the inner court. He invited them to have a seat at his table. They wanted to stone the women, and he said, where's the accusers? You without sin, cast the first stone. At the time, it was easy to discard him. He said, no, 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 I see value. We're not going to treat people this way. In a time when it was easy to say children be pushed aside, Jesus said, no, bring the children to me. And many times while he was teaching, he would pick up and pick a child and begin to teach while he was holding the child. Why? Because he wanted everybody to understand something, that we all belong to the kingdom. We are all equal to the kingdom. Jesus spent time with the poor. He spent time with the middle class, and he spent time with the rich. Everything in between. We see Jesus reaching out to all people. We see Jesus healing all people. We see Jesus talking to all people. We see Jesus teaching to all people. We see Jesus reaching out to all the world. I mean, who does this? Nobody done this until Jesus. Couldn't have just been a good prophet. Couldn't have been just a good teacher. Something was different. He's the first one that taught us, I want you to think differently. Don't just think about forgiving somebody because they ask you to forgive them. He says, I want you to learn to forgive those no matter what. I want you to learn to forgive those who have done you wrong. And I want you to be my follower. You're going to learn to forgive people even if they haven't asked for forgiveness. Now today, medical science will tell us that our health, mentally and physically, are much better when we learn to forgive people. That when we don't hold on to bitterness and anger, that it allows us to live a much mental and physical healthy life. Who would know this 2,000 years ago before medical science? How about the one that was there as the creator who understands that our lives will run much smoother and easier when we learn to forgive? What kind of man does that? He says, I don't want you just to forgive those who ask you. Anybody can do that. I want you to forgive those who don't even ask you. Wow. Radical, man. What kind of person is this? It's a man who changed the world. More books have been written about this man than any other subject in the world. More songs have been written about this man than anybody else in the world. More artwork done about this man than anybody else in the world. What kind of man was this? What kind of man had this impact that over 2,000 years ago, he set the world on fire, and that fire has not given up? Well, Pastor, I read that it was just a big lie, that the resurrection was just a big lie. So you're telling me that you could get 500 people to agree on to follow a lie, and nobody would say it's a lie. You're telling me that these people would give their life for a lie? They would allow themselves to be crucified for a lie? They would allow themselves to be put to death for a lie? No, no. Something had to happen. If they were an eyewitness to a miraculous resurrection, they saw him die on the cross. They cried for him on Saturday. But on Sunday morning, hope was restored. Hope came back, and hope was there. So you got to understand something today. When sin entered the garden, God said, I want to create Adam and Eve to have fellowship with me. I'll put them in the Garden of Eden. And the Bible says that he had an open door of communication to Adam and Eve. He would come and walk with them and talk with them. And they walked and talked throughout the day. They spent time together. But when sin happened in the garden, the door was shut closed. No longer did we have open communication with the Father. It says sin cut that off. But how many know that as soon as that door began to shut, that God already had a backup plan? God already had a plan to reopen that door once again. See, who is Jesus? You have to answer this question. Look at this scripture. This is who Jesus said he was. Jesus said this in John 10, verse 9 and 10. Jesus said, I am, let's say it together, the door. One more time. I am the door. Not a door, the door. Don't get it wrong. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal from us, to kill and destroy. He goes, but I've come. They may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the door. What are you saying, Pastor? He didn't say he was a door. What do you mean? This isn't, let's make a deal. Choose door number one, number door two, number three. All doors do not lead to heaven. Right. Hear me today. This is a very important message. I don't care what you read. I don't care who you heard say it. All doors do not lead to heaven. There's going to be a lot of good people who missed out on heaven. There's going to be a lot of good people who followed a religion very strict, but because they did not enter the door through Jesus, they will miss it. Don't miss it today. Jesus says, I am the door. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, Jesus said, you can enter God's kingdom only through that narrow door. It's not a broad door. It's one, a narrow gate. Now, if you want a big door, he said, the highway to hell, it's broad. There's a lot of entryways to go to hell. And the gate is wide for many who will choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow. Only through the door. Only through the door will we find abundant life. Only through the door will I be fulfilled. Only through the door can my sins be forgiven. Only through the door can I be restored back into a right relationship with the Father. It's only that door. So you got to understand something today. I can't just be a good person. I got to believe in Jesus. And maybe you're here and say, I'm not far from a good person. Maybe you're like the man I had a chance to lead to the Lord yesterday. He goes, Pastor, I've made a lot of sins in my life. I said, welcome to the club. We all have. But the great news is this. When you enter the door through Jesus, my sins are forgiven. Whether it's one sin or a million. It's the great news. And so how does this happen, Pastor? How can my sins be forgiven by the door? Well, the Bible, let's go back to the example. Remember the Exodus story. When God sent Moses to go back to Pharaoh and said, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Over a million slaves of Israelites. Pharaoh had them there in Egypt working for him. And as he's there working these slaves, Moses shows up and says, God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh's like, I'm not letting go of this free labor. We are getting good labor out of these people. They're building all this for me. I am not letting them go. And Moses said, fine. God says he's going to send the plagues. And God began to send plague after plague after plague after plague. The Bible says he turned the Nile River into blood. Then he's had allowed the whole area to be full of frogs. Can you imagine frogs taking over a whole area to the point you couldn't even walk without stepping on a frog? Frogs jumping in your house. Frogs jumping on your couch and in your bed at night, jumping on your face. People going crazy because frogs were everywhere. Then he sent locusts to eat all the crops, and locusts swarmed in. Flies swarmed in. Lice everywhere. Come on now, someone said, that's way too much right there. You would think cattle begin to drop dead. All these signs and plagues that God sent to get Pharaoh's attention. But with every plague, Pharaoh's heart grew harder. And said, I'm not giving them up. Forget it, Moses. So God told Moses, I'm going to send the death angel tonight. The firstborn is going to be killed in the household. Tell all the house of Israel to take the lamb without spot or wrinkle. The lamb, the perfect lamb, sacrifice it and take the blood and apply it to the top of their door. And those who had the blood applied to the door, the death angel will come, who's coming to bring judgment, will pass over their door. So Moses told all the house of Israel. And they sacrificed the lamb as God had instructed. And they put it on the top of the doorway. The lamb's blood was applied. And sure enough, that night, the death angel passed the camp. And all those who had the blood-covered door, the death angel passed over. Judgment passed over them. And those who didn't, judgment came to their house. They said it was a great night of gnashing and wailing. He said, Pastor, that's really cruel. How could God be that cruel? Well, first of all, let me tell you two things. First of all, be thankful you don't live in the Old Testament. God didn't put up with smack in the Old Testament. I'm just telling you right now. I mean, he was really hard in the Old Testament, number one. Number two, Pharaoh. Number one, God sent 9 plagues to get his attention. Pharaoh's the one who hardened his heart. God gave him time and time again to let people go and to get his attention. He sent signs and signs and signs. And it was Pharaoh himself who ordered the slaughter of all the baby boys because he was afraid. He had heard the prophecy that God was going to raise up a leader through them, and Moses was miraculously saved when his mom floated him down the Nile. Remember in the basket, and Pharaoh's daughter found him? He was miraculously saved, but all the other boys were put to death, fed to the alligators, killed. So I know it sounds cruel, but God's dealing with a cruel leader who had turned and hardened their back to God and did unthinkable things. Of course, when this happens, Pharaoh says, take your people. Go, leave me. See, what I want you to get is on the cross, when Jesus died, the Bible says that Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God. Jesus was the Lamb of God. And when he died on the cross for the sins of the world, something miraculous happened. That Jesus' blood was shed so that you and I could be free. And once again, when we put our faith in the cross of what Jesus did on the cross, the door is painted red in our life. Something miraculous happens. Now when the blood's been applied to the door has shut. But how many know on resurrection morning, the stone was rolled away? And it wasn't just the stone that was rolled away. The door was opened back up once again. All who put the blood of Jesus on their life can now walk and talk and fellowship with God again. And this is an amazing thing. All that was required was the blood on the door. He didn't say, wait. Do the people in here, is there anybody in here a good person? Anybody in here not committed a lot of sins? Yeah, anybody here go to church all the time? Anybody here pray every day? Didn't ask any of that. The only thing he was looking for was the blood. See, you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. I'm imperfect. I've committed a lot of sin in my life. So have you. But what makes me clean is the blood of Jesus. What makes you clean is the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says all I have to do is simply put my faith that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he was buried and resurrected on the 3rd day. And when I do that, the blood of Jesus is applied to my life and my door is back open to fellowship with the Father. As you bow your heads today, let me ask you a question. Who is Jesus to you? You have to answer that for yourself. You will give an account before God one day how you answer this question. I won't do anything to single you out, and I promise you, we won't do anything to embarrass you. But if you're here today, say, Pastor, I realize today it's time for me to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to apply the blood of Jesus to my door of my life and allow him to be Lord of my life. Nobody's looking but me. Can you just raise your hand? Let me see that you today, you're ready to do that. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody? Yeah, sure. Lots of hands going up. Raise it up right now. If that's you, raise it right now. Sounds to me. Thank you. I see those hands in the back, guys. Good. This is what we're going to do. If you raise your hand, I want you to say this prayer after me. As Christians around you, we'll help you along as well. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you are the Messiah who was resurrected on the 3rd day. And from this day forward, I will live for you and I will follow you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, we say, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Amen.